everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Check this out. This floating piece of paper. No big deal. Just from the Ravens playbook. Did Tre'Davious Wright really have to give that to the referee? Also, another Player of the Year nominee. Kittle stiff-arming like Isola when the check comes. And then the next gen they posted. This is the most boring version of the play. I don't need to see that. He's stiff-arming six humans. Show me him as a Clydesdale. We start with the 48ers. San Francisco 48, New Orleans 46. Game of the Year nominee and what it does for the NFC playoff picture. San Francisco now moves from 5-1 because of the win and because the Rams beat Seattle. Their offense in this game and this Kittle play. I mean, this is one-on-one on a linebacker with no help. So that's a great matchup. And then when the help came, he stiff-armed them back to the Stone Age. He got face masked. No big deal. Nom, nom, nom. Eat that up. And then he Clydesdaled himself and his team to victory. George, you called San Francisco the conference favorite a few weeks ago. Everybody else, Frank, you especially, I think you've been favoring the Saints. So what did yesterday's outcome do to you?
Yeah, that tells you a lot that Jimmy Garoppolo could win a shootout on the road. Remember, they're down with 53 seconds to go because they didn't convert that two-point conversion. The Saints I'm talking about. He marched them right down the field. So on a day where their defense didn't have it, Jimmy Garoppolo had it. And that play by Kittle, that is the defining moment of San Francisco.
And you didn't believe San Francisco could beat New Orleans or even go into New Orleans. Now, seeing the NFC as it is, Frank, are the 49ers the favorite?
I would say right now, because a very good chance he'll get to play home games, which will be a big difference in the
Israel
NFC.
Israel Gutierrez?
Frank, it looks like, sounds like you had a rough weekend, man. The throat's a little rough there.
All right.
I also think, look, this is crazy impressive. Sometimes you can just simplify things and say, hey, the 49ers have not scored this many points on the road since 1993. This was a heck of an exclamation point type of performance. And you can say about both sides of the ball, New Orleans, when they're at home, their defense had been playing great, several times this year, and San Francisco's defense had been the thing that's carrying them. But if we want to be critical of Jimmy Garoppolo and wonder how good he is in times that they're winning in spite of him, then we have to give him credit for this, because this was a masterful performance. And coming at the end, even, I mean, we want to give Kittle all that credit, but, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo got there, made the right decision, and I think this makes them the favorite to me easily.
And by the way, Frank's voice, that's because of that Jets-Dolphins game right in your face, Gutierrez. Eat it. Nobody cares about that. We'll get to that game later, but nobody cares about that game right now. Woody Page, what did the 49ers show you?
Well, Israel, first of all, that's the first time in history that we've ever had, in NFL history, we've ever had a 48-46 game.
Gorgami, yes.
We're celebrating the 100th anniversary. Wow, is that something. But Garoppolo, we talked about back when George was picking them as the best team in the league, the fact that they were winning almost in spite of him. And then he turned it around. Here's what I think makes the 49ers now the favorite in the NFC. That's because they were prepared last night for Seattle. And you say, what does that mean? That is the strongest indoor crowd anywhere in the NFL, in the Superdome. Now they got to go to Seattle, which is the loudest crowd anywhere, outdoors or indoors, and they'll be prepared for it. They said they handled the environment last night. Well, will have to do it once again in the last game of the season. And I think if you look at, look at the schedules of all those teams that the 49ers are in position now. Go. They've proven it with their defense. Now they've proven it with their offense and their quarterback.
Hold on a second. Let me just see that truck board behind you right now, Woody Page. Is that that's a banana nut muffin duct taped. All right, there we go. Art Basel. I see what you're doing there. All right, George Sedano, take the points because you had San Francisco weeks ago. But what did they prove last night?
Well, I'm going to disagree with Woody about winning in spite of Garoppolo. Garoppolo in his last three games, the Packers, the Ravens, and this Saints game, has 129 quarterback rating. And again, seven touchdowns, only one interception against three playoff caliber type teams. The other thing that I look at is George Kittle. You look at his career thus far, how important he is, not only to Garoppolo's success, but just the overall team success. In the first three seasons, historically, only three other guys have more yardage than him. Mike Ditka, Rob Gronkowski, and
from
Jimmy Graham. This offense is humming at the right time to go with a defense that had been basically been the key to their success early on.
I solely want to add a last word.
And that key play, that fourth and one play, once again, the safety of the Saints, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, he was involved in so many big plays that kept every drive alive, important drive alive for San Francisco. If I'm Sean Payton, I'm concerned about my defense. We were up 13. We had a lead in the final minute, and we couldn't get it done
at home. It's interesting you say that, Frank, because Payton, after the game, he was exasperated. He just lost. It was a great game, but he just lost the game while allowing 48 points. But the first thing he said was about the offense. Like, we had some more chances to score points. Breeze threw five touchdowns. They scored 46. Maybe look at the defense a little bit. All right, all right. We've been horned. We're going to move on. We're going to look at the Chiefs-Patriots game. KC 23, New England 16. Tom Brady. Well, he said he's never blaming the referees, but we're going to start with the plays. The fumble blown dead and the marking out of bounds. Let's start with those plays. We'll get to the fact the Patriots needed trickeration in Brady's legs just to move the ball and that they were booed and that people are still saying it's over, it's all over. We'll get to that. This game was decided by our fingertips. So, George, how should the NFL feel about those two calls?
Not great, Tony, and I want to give credit to our guy Mike Reese, who was the pool reporter, who spoke to Jerome Boger yesterday, the lead official, about all those plays yesterday. And the one thing that stuck out to me is the NFL needs to expand what the scoring play rule is, because Boger basically told Reese that that play with Harry was not reviewable, and he didn't want to step in because he thought the guys had a better view, and the goal line wasn't in play. Well, it looked like to us that he scored, so that needs to be expanded so we can understand what a scoring play is. That's the NFL part. As far as the Patriots are concerned, I'm going to be with Philip Dorsett on this. Philip Dorsett said, hey, man, that's not the reason we lost. We've gotten some calls in the past. We got some that went against us. That's just the NFL. The reality is Tom Brady went 4 of 14 under duress in that particular game. They couldn't score with that Harry play when they had first and goal from the three, and they couldn't take advantage of the Mahomes interception where they went three and out after that. That's the biggest reason why they lost.
Well, the New England looked very unpatriotic-like yesterday. It looked like a common team. It looked like a team that was afraid of the Chiefs, that was pulling out those trick plays and trying to do things that it normally doesn't do. I don't think that Belichick, that was well coached by him at all, because he was trying different things because they were so afraid of the Chiefs, it looked like. Mm-hmm. In regard to the officials, they made two mistakes. It's happening in every game. You have to overcome it, whether you're the Saints or whether you're the Denver Broncos and the Patriots. They usually get the advantage of those plays, and they didn't last night. But George is onto something there, that if it's a play that involves the goal line, you should be able to review it, whether it's a touchdown or not. That was close enough to the goal line that the NFL is playing with
its there goes the muffin, and that means Woody's going to stop talking. Sorry, I mean, you just lost $100,000. Your muffin couldn't make art. Israel Gutierrez, start with the plays, all right, because we're talking about that play at the goal line and out of bounds, but also the play blown dead.
Yeah. Well, yes, I'll get to both of those. But let me just say this, Woody, they looked like an ordinary team because that defense against the Kansas City Chiefs isn't going to look as great. And on offense, they're probably less than ordinary. But they have a brilliantly coached team and obviously Tom Brady, who's seen and done everything, which is why these two calls are so infuriating. They needed to scheme to try to beat the Chiefs here. They needed to have things work in their favor, and they get two seriously terrible calls. And the one thing that drives me nuts is the referee. PAs and the officials, why not lean in the favor of the potential review? So on that play where it's no touchdown, call the touchdown. You know it's going to be reviewed. On the Travis Kelce fumble, man, it seemed like they were delayed in blowing the whistle and still blew the whistle. Let that go. We've seen it improve this year, but not enough. And the Patriots needed that. Nobody's going to feel sorry for them. Nobody's going to cry any tears for them, which is why they're telling you everything that they're telling you. But that's a game that was partially, potentially decided by a couple of
blows. How'd you see it?
Izzy's right about the officiating. This happens in every game. It's been going on for a long time. It's a hard game to officiate. They miss some huge calls. The Travis Kelce play makes no sense. Why are you blowing the whistle? We've been down this road before. That could have been a touchdown, that play, on the fumble recovery. But the Patriots, though, and Woody, to say that they're afraid of them, that's why they're running trick plays. Bill Belichick has been doing this his entire career. He learned this from Bill Parcells. They've run trick plays in playoff games at home that have worked before. But Tom Brady on third down, converting, I think it was 2-for-14, just not getting it done. And to George's point, a big turning point in that game, up 7-0, got the ball back and the 3-and-out. That set a bad tone in the first half.
Israel's tenting his fingers, which means he's got something else. Yes, let me hear
this. Yes. Because Tom Brady, if he has a second receiver, if he has somebody who's not dropping passes, then again, this game looks different. So I'm not ready to judge the Patriots. I still think because of their coaching and because of Tom Brady and because of that defense, they can beat anybody anywhere. They just almost have to have everything fall right.
See, Woody, this is what I think Israel and Frank are disagreeing with. You saw the trick plays as proof that they were afraid of the Chiefs. And I think Israel and Frank are saying the trick plays they were doing because they don't have enough confidence in their offense. I mean, they were pulling out everything just to try to stay in the game. You could expound on that, Woody.
Well, I think that's true both ways. That, yes, I think they were afraid that the Chiefs are going to score 35 points. But how many times have you guys seen Tom Brady take off and run like he did? No, he doesn't do that except for on the goal line on a sneak. So, I mean, I thought they were doing things that were very uncharacteristic of the Patriots because their offense is bad and because they thought the Chiefs were going to score a lot.
Daniel Ellsworth.
It's an opinion.
Tony, let's not overreact to the Patriots. They were 9-5 last year and still went to the Super Bowl. They're 10-3. I mean, think we need to pump up.
I understand. I understand. Many say the dynasty's over. Many say they're resorting to trick plays. I mean, this is a team that won Super Bowls because of archaic rules like the tuck rule, because of field goals multiple times, because of incredible catches and all this. The margin has always been razor thin, it seems like. All right, taking a break right here. Check this out. Lamar Jackson. Those white sleeves. I can't see. Where are the laces of the football? I can't see the laces of the football with the gloves and the white. You know, this is a checkmate move from Jackson. But here's something funny. Tyrann Mathieu had yellow gloves on yesterday. Every time I saw him, I thought there was a flag on the play.
Got me. You're allowed to wear that.
All right, Woody, enjoy that banana muffin. It's $120,000.
Around the Horn is brought to you by CDW. CDW, people who get it. Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
LSU, Oklahoma. It's a double-digit spread. It started at LSU 10. It's now LSU 12. Ohio State, Clemson. Ohio State, a two-point dog to Clemson. And that's the difference, see, between the one seed and the two or three. Utah laid the egg. Oklahoma took Baylor's best shot. Ohio State took off a half. And Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence pitched perfect games. And here we are, George Sedano. Did the committee get it right? And what's your initial gut to the matchups?
Tone, I think they got it right. LSU had 5 wins against the AP Top 10, tied for the most since 1936, not to mention 4 wins against the committee's Top 13. Ohio State had a good resume, not better resume than LSU. And you're right, neither of them wanted to face Clemson. Ohio State is going to face Clemson. I think Clemson wins, and I think LSU will face them in the
Woody
championship.
Page.
Yeah, I think the two best quarterbacks are at Clemson and LSU. That's going to make a difference. But LSU, George, you can talk about all that. LSU deserved to be number one because they beat Alabama on the road. That's what it comes down to.
Israel Gutierrez?
Yeah, the best win and the best resume. It's not even much of an argument to me. But I do think that anybody that would have ended up playing Clemson would have felt unlucky because we've been holding Clemson up to the standard of last year, to this standard of, oh, they need to be this good to be number one. And just because maybe they didn't beat North Carolina by enough, I think any team that was going to face them was going to be upset. And like George, I think they're going to win that game.
And Frank Isola.
Yeah, the committee got it right. If I'm Utah, I blew it. I had a chance to get into the top four. But maybe the best story will end up being Jalen Hurts, a guy, the Alabama transfer, win two games, win the national championship. Be pretty cool.
It's already a great story. He made the playoff and Alabama didn't. Yeah. We'll move on. Rams 28, Seahawks 12. The L.A. maybe you've been looking for all season. And a regression the Seahawks maybe have been flirting with all season. L.A.'s next three games at Dallas, at San Fran, home for Arizona, while still a game back of Minnesota, who is at Chargers, home Packers, home Bears. You can see right there the odds. So they might be bullseyeing Womp Rats in a T16. It's a high to get there. But Woody, what did you find yourself last night looking at and reassessing, the Rams more or the Seahawks?
Well, I just think the Rams got to the party too late, that it's already started and it's going to continue without them. The problem was that they had gotten behind in games. Goff really hadn't played well until we've just seen it recently. And they're finally using Gurley the way they were supposed to. They were saving him, and it took too long to get to him. But the problem is that they've got too much to worry about and go to see. And, you know, they're playing the 49ers. I just don't think they're going to make the playoffs. That's what I took away.
I mean, there's a decent chance they can catch the Vikings. It's not great, but what I love is that they're just running the ball, period. And maybe it's because, as Woody said, they're not falling behind early on. It's not like Todd Gurley is setting the world afire. He's averaging about 4 yards a carry in these last couple of games, but he's still getting the ball 25 and 23 times, and that's what makes Jared Goff more effective. He's been playing great. That's why they've been better.
Todd Gurley had over 100 yards combined, rushing and receiving. But for me, the Rams defense did not give up a touchdown in this game. That team right now, they're dangerous. They're peaking at the right time.
You think they can pass the Vikings for that play? We showed you the odds. I mean, it's 24, 70, 75. But you, Frank thinks it's still in play? Okay. Sedano, how about you?
I do too, Tony. I think they can win out. I think they could beat Dallas. I think they could beat the Niners. I look at yesterday's game. You know I love the domination of the line of scrimmage. They did that. They were tough, and they were creative. Look at those jet sweeps that Sean McVay was running. Again, a lot of guys putting dirt on Sean McVay and his creativity. We're starting to see it again.
Putting dirt on Sean McVay there, George. He was the one that said, I was stupid for not doing did anyone else know that Sedano's here for those in the scrimmage, in the trenches? I didn't know this.
I did not know that.
We'll move on. Buy or sell three.
He's not able to run as well as he should be able to, as well as he knows, and that's frustrating for him. It wasn't handled the right way in our training room, so it is what it is.
Dr. Baker Mayfield talking about Odell Beckham Jr. Freddie Kitchens, his coach, by the way, said, maybe not talk about other people's injuries there, Mayfield. That's what he said today. There was also the Jay Glazer report that Beckham is telling opposing teams and coaches, come get me out of here. Beckham says that's not the case. That's been like every other week. Israel, what do you buy? What do you sell from Cleveland?
Well, I'm selling that's the only reason, the training room, that he had an issue all season long. I'm sure their chemistry was not built up properly. Odell Beckham's out, OTAs, not participating and everything else. And so there's a bunch of reasons. But in terms of Baker Mayfield, I think he's essentially having his teammates back. He's giving Odell Beckham a reason to stick around. Your quarterback's always going to have your back regardless, as opposed to everybody else saying, hey, he wants to be out the door.
I think Baker Mayfield explaining why we haven't connected is because he's hurt, and in doing so, he did throw the medical staff under the bus. I'll say this too. An injury, a losing team, and drama surrounding Odell Beckham. I'm shocked. Absolutely shocked that that's happening. It's never happened before.
Tony, this is prototypical Baker Mayfield. He just doesn't know when to stop. He talks too much, and there are two rules here. You don't talk about another man's money, and you don't talk about another man's health in sports. He's done that with Odell Beckham Jr. He did that with Duke Johnson. Remember when he went to Houston because he didn't want to play for the Browns in that spot? Like, this is, to me, prototypical Baker Mayfield.
As the only panelist here who underwent double hernia surgery early this year and did the show several weeks before
the surgery. Yes, I know, you're a
warrior. I could say that it's effective. The problem is Cleveland is a dysfunction nation. That's what they're all about. It just continues to grow. We saw it 3 weeks ago. We're seeing it again now. Players now talking about medical issues. Really, that's
interesting. Frank, did you want to add something?
A man should not talk about another man's health. That's exactly what Izzy did on this show. He talked about my health. Wow. So you can do it on a show, but not
I talked about
all
my health.
Not enough. Woody, you did get about 30 bonus points that day when you came back. That was incredible.
I mean, you did that with the colonoscopy, and you did that with double hernia surgery. We won't get into that first one. Sedano Gutierrez showdown. AFC South's a mess right now. Was there a more dog performance all week than the Texans? By the way, the Titans are coming, and their most impressive play from the weekend came after a Tannehill pick, because look at this tackle. Boom!
We'll be back.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Jets 22, Dolphins 21. Yes, we'll talk about this game. The game with all the kicks. 10 field goals made, most ever in a game. But this play, the pass interference, which was not called, came inside 2 minutes, so it was reviewed upstairs, and it was overturned, and that's how the Jets got that field goal to win it. George, fair or foul to overturn that call?
It's foul, Tony. This is clearly the NFL responding to criticism early in the year where they wouldn't overturn obvious pass interference calls. Now, they're overturning borderline ones. They're overcompensating.
It was terrible, and it was booth-generated because it was under 2 minutes. That has to drive Brian Flores absolutely insane. There were way more egregious ones. And, by the way, that receiver Smith, two hands on the ball. That was really pass interference.
That's the call that gets over. That's the booth looking at not anything in the Patriots game where the guy's inbounds. All right, we'll move on. Have you ever in your life watching, covering, playing CYO or Papa Shot, seen the he's got an untucked jersey, technical foul, turn into the extra point, and the time you need for the court pass to win the game? This was incomprehensible Friday night, and it was all started by Chris Paul. Fair or foul, Israel Gutierrez?
I mean, it's so foul, but at this point, Chris Paul's eventually going to be president of the Referees Association. He's so obsessed with officiating. He and Scott Foster made him make that call.
It's fair that they got back at him, Tony, because you know what? Fair. You either die the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Wait, you're all right with him? You're all right with the untucked technical, George Sedano? Take a seat. FaceTime's going to Israel Gutierrez here.
Thank you, Tony. As much as I argued in favor of the Dolphins just there, I am not a Dolphins fan. They have sucked the fandom out of me over the last 15 years. Case in point, was never a fan of Ryan Tannehill. Didn't think he had very good pocket presence. Didn't think he was an instinctive QB. The last three games, quarterback rating of over 130, percentage completions of over 75%. The only other quarterback to do that ever, Aaron Rodgers in three straight games during his MVP season. Ryan Tannehill giving hope to Mitch Trubisky and every other quarterback ever who's ever said, hey, give me a minute, I might be good eventually. This is your guy.
Mr. Tannehill, of course, yes. Got to say it like that. Run a break, we'll see you tomorrow.